It's good to be with you this morning and to be able to share from the Word of God, share from our hearts, share what the Lord is doing here in San Carlos. I always like this little clip, just knowing that there is so much darkness around you, but at the same time, we have this incredible gift of light, which we can give, that we can give freely. When Rich came to me and asked me to take this pulpit time, he asked me that I would share missions, but he asked me more to share of what God is doing here in San Carlos and what he has started with our ministry here. And so I want to take this morning to do that very thing. I want to share what God has started here in San Carlos with the Bible school. Sounds like we might have a little bit of competition here this morning. I'm not sure if I'll just have to speak louder or what, but anyways. 2 weeks ago, I shared with here a prayer request with you in regards to a Bible conference that was going on in Venezuela with a tribe of Indians. Have any of you remember that? How many were here when I shared about that? There weren't that many people here. But anyway, just to give you a little bit of background, this tribe of people, they get together once a year for a Bible conference, and two particular guys had to travel like a 12-hour trip, 6 hours by river and a 5-hour trip by bus, and then about an hour's walk to see if they could find more Bibles for this particular conference. And as things have gotten bad there in Venezuela, we've had to close down our print shop, and our particular guy that has been working the print shop has gotten cancer, and he's in the United States right now that is getting treatment. And so here these tribal people traveled all this way to get portions of the scriptures into their language, and they had to turn around and come back again. And so the conference started, and so I received a letter from my friend this week, and I just want to share a little bit of what he wrote to me in regards to this particular conference. Had a nice talk from Guillermo today. Guillermo is one of the tribal people, and so Tim is up in northern British Columbia, and he's still doing translation of the Bible for that particular language. And so they're talking via telephone. Had a nice talk with Guillermo today. He had just returned from the Bible conference where there were more than 400 people who traveled from many parts of the jungle, representatives from some 53 different little churches, to gather together and listen to teachings from Paul's letter to the Romans. I asked him how it went, and he said it was beyond good. Well, imagine if you took 3 weeks off to get together with all of your friends and cruise verse by verse through Romans. I kind of think it would be a very encouraging time. This year, the leaders decided to have new teachers to do the teaching. The regular teachers got to take a break and just enjoy it from their seats. Well, Annabelle, his nickname is Big Head, even I've told you about him before, though he's one of the meekest men I know. His head is just large in proportion to his body. Morillo, Juario, Jose, Ruben, and Guillermo shared each day a portion of the letter. It certainly would have been fun to be there just to listen to each of them share. While there, Guillermo met with the rest of the leaders regarding the group, a particular group in the Siapo area, and Guillermo was asked to come and teach them. So here you have this group of people that are asking Guillermo to come and teach them. There will be some 23 villages from all along the Siapo River coming to one village to hear the story of God from creation to the cross. They will teach 6 days a week for 5 weeks. While they meet regarding this mission and prayed, the Lord led 10 of these men to go. And so he names these 10 men that were chosen to go and teach these next 5 weeks coming up. And Guillermo will do something before, and so they plan to do something before Christmas. They are waiting to hear back from the hosting village on a preferred date to begin. Before they go to the Siapo, they plan to visit 3 other villages. They just love to hang out with each other, and they love to go on these mission trips, teaching the word to those who are hungry to hear. I sit back here and I think, wow, I wish I could have listened to all the thoughts which the Lord will speak through these guys. Each of them so gifted in wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual understanding, and each of them so meek and loving. I guess they've been hanging around with Jesus. I imagined if they were listening to the Sanhedrin Council, they might come to the same conclusion they did about Peter and John. They've been with Jesus. And the letter continues to go on, stating these tribal people are wanting to somehow be able to establish their own printing. They'd like to buy a building somehow. They'd like to be able to buy printing equipment, etc., that they don't have to wait for somebody else to print the scriptures in their language. They can do it themselves. And so this is a big prayer request for him, to be able to print the word of God and to be able to give it to their own people. But you know, folks, as I read things like this, it just pricks my heart. It just grabs me, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. Hunger and thirst for the word of God. That's what these people have, a hunger and a thirst. And to be able to read that and to be able to just imagine yourself sitting down for 5 weeks being taught 6 days a week, 7 days a week, every day being taught the word of God. Wouldn't that be a privilege? Just imagine that. Here these people have that privilege. And so we need to continue to pray for the local church around the world. That's something that we as believers can do right in our own homes. Something that is just so precious, so dear. Some of you know very well what we are doing here in San Carlos. Just to give you just a little bit of history, we left Venezuela in 2007, and because of the whole political situation over there, we had to leave as a mission organization. And without missionaries there, our work came to an end as well. And so 2007, we came home discouraged, wondering what God had in store for us. We had no idea. We had just given ourselves 20 years of serving the Lord there in that country, and all of a sudden, it was gone. And during that time, it was very easy to question God and say, God, what are you doing? Where are you in all of this? And as time went on, Susan and I began to feel, well, God has another plan for us, and we don't know what it is. And so the director of this mission, the Central Cultural Center, calls us up and says, we would like for you to take a look at what is going on here in San Carlos, because we would like for you to come and take charge of it. And as we did that, we came here and we saw the work here going on, and we didn't necessarily see immediately exactly what was happening here. But Susan and I saw the potential of what could happen here in San Carlos. And that was our motivation when we said yes to this mission organization. We will come here, and we don't know what God has in store for us, but we will come and do what God wants us to do. And so as we started out 2 years ago, we landed here, or it's 2.5 years now. We began to feel things around here. After the first year we were here, Susan and I kind of looked at ourselves, and it's like, did we do the right thing of coming here? Is this what you really want, God, or did we come here in the flesh or something? We were kind of confused, and yet we were still open to, God, you brought us here. We want to work for you. We want to see something take place here in San Carlos, the Guaymas area. And so we just kept that goal ahead of us, and as we started out heading into different fields and working alongside of our church plants there in Banamachi and Arispe, and we got another church started in Aconchi last year, and that is moving ahead good. And as God began to work with us and encourage us, lights started flashing here a little bit, and we had the wonderful opportunity of getting to know Eric and Roxanne Erickson. They are people, missionaries that taught one of the Bible schools in Ensenada. Thanks, Katie. Ensenada. And they worked there for some 20 years, and every year they would travel down south to Mexico and visit the alumni from that particular Bible school. And as they came over here, we had a short period of visiting with them as they parked their motorhome out here. And on their return 2 months later from down south Mexico, their vehicle broke down on the other side of Obregón, and they needed to be repaired, and it took like a month for them to be able to get their vehicle repaired. And so during that time, they were able to park back behind here, which was then a motorhome facility. And we spent lots of time talking with them, and I shared things that I wanted to see happen here, and they shared things that they had talked about some years ago that they wanted to see happen over here. And as we began to talk shop, began to start thinking about the Lord possibly opening up a Bible school here for Mexicans to train them, we got super excited. And as we got Pastor Rich involved in this whole situation as well, I remember the six of us, Rich and Karen and Roxanne and Eric and Susan and I, we went after a church service, we went out for a meal. And we talked about it together as three couples, and we just were seeking the Lord. And I believe during that time in that restaurant, this school back here was born. And it was so exciting to just see God work in incredible ways, even though it looked like an impossibility starting out. It looked like, God, how are we going to do this? The plans are made. Our vision is complete. We believe that this is where you are directing us. But now you're going to have to pull the big time strings because the rest of it is out of our control. And it was so good to see how God started supplying and reconfirming as we talked with supporters of ours, and as we talked to people in the congregation over here, and we talked to different pastors, and we talked to different missionaries from our own group, and as we began talking about this and thinking, is this what God has for us? And the answer was always coming back, yes, yes, go for it. Do what God has put on your hearts. And that's so many times, I think, as Christians, we hold back when God is telling us to do something in our hearts, but we say, no, I'm not ready yet. I don't think I can do this. I'm not strong enough. I can't do this. And at times, that's the way I was feeling, but no. God had put something in our hearts, and we needed to follow through with it. We had to go for it. And typical guys, it's like finances. Where in the world are we going to be able to get finances to build a school? And we were able to sell this property that's directly behind the church over here to the church. And with those funds, we were able to be able to start the construction right next door over here. And we started. And this was last October when we finally got all the plans together and we started building. And it was exciting. It was exciting. And as many of you know, we were building up until the day classes started. The 15th of January, we were still going, and as we were getting unseasonably weird rains during that time, and I remember as that roof was not fixed yet, and rain was coming down, and students had to move their desks in different places, and finally we were out underneath this little roof outside here, no, back behind here where this kitchen is, and we were in the Latino church over here. We had to have classes so that we wouldn't get wet, and all these different things that came about. But we kept going. We kept to the date that we had started with, established with. Back in October, we said, we're going to start school January 15th, rain or shine. And that's what we did. And so it was good to see how God just supplied in all those areas. And even though our first semester was very rustic in a lot of ways, God supplied us with students. And we made it work. God made it work. And as we finished our first semester on the 16th of this past April, it was good to see a little graduation there. It was good to see our classroom filled with close to 100 people that came. And, you know, we've heard back from all of the students, basically, and some are doing really good. Some are involved big time in their churches. Some sad points are that there's some problems also that are going on. But that's the way it is. And so as this semester finished in April, Susan and I and Katie now, as she's come on board with us, with the school, we're working together for more events to take place now this coming fall. In October, we have two ladies' seminars that are planned. We're going to be heading out to El Choyudo for one of them, and then we're going to be going to Arispe for another one. And in times past, as we've put these things on, many ladies have come to put their faith in Christ. It's an opportunity for ladies to be able to get out of their home situation, get away from their kids, and to be able to just be spoiled a little bit with given a meal and given a craft to do, and to just be able to sit down and listen to the teachings of the Word of God. And so we're expecting possibly 200 ladies again this year, this fall, to come out to these two events. We're extremely excited about this. The ladies are, the two different towns where we're having them, are very excited about that. And it's another area where you guys can be a part of this work as well. Some of you want to come out and help Susan with cooking for this particular event, or if you want to pray for the ladies, or you want to help donate for a craft or whatever it might take. You know, we are open to whatever God has for these particular events to take place, because we know that they're such a blessing. Also in November, we have a pastor's conference coming on right here in the school as well. We've invited dozens of pastors to come, and we want them to come for the whole month of November. We're going to be starting the 1st of November, going right through to the 26th. So we want to teach 5 days a week for 4 weeks straight. And we want this time to be extremely encouraging for pastors, because so many pastors today, they continually give and give and give of themselves. But so many times they aren't receiving. They don't have those opportunities to receive the Word of God. And so we want to make it a point to be able to just have these guys come in, them and their wives, and just teach them. Just to teach them. To babysit them. Not to babysit them, but to just help them along. Just kind of encourage them in every possible way that we can to help them go back to their churches and to be able to get involved. Because when I think of our local church over here, we are working very strongly with them, because we want to prepare people to go back to their churches, to be pastors, to be missionaries, to be leaders that want to lead the flock. That to us is so very important to see. We want to see that take place. And so we're very encouraged with November coming up. But again, we need your prayers big time in this area. We want to see at least 15, 20 pastors come, and possibly with their wives. We might need some help for billeting some of these people out, because we want these people to stay here. We don't want them traveling back and forth. We want to just nurture them here and now during that time. And so people that might want to cook, help Susan in the kitchen. We're going to have child care possibly. We don't know. We don't know, but we have to prepare ourselves for everything to take place. So pray for us as we look for teachers. We basically have the people needed now to come for this particular event. We're charging a very small amount of money for these pastors for the whole month. 500 pesos is all that we are charging. And so if people want to sponsor a pastor and his wife to come, I mean, that could be another possibility in a way of giving towards the work. There's so many ways that we can be involved in missions here in San Carlos. And it's encouraging to see. And again, it's been encouraging to just see the congregation get involved and be a part. And so as we're looking towards this for November, and then January 9th, we're starting another semester again, and sometimes it seems so overwhelming. Lord, we don't have any applications in yet. Who are going to be our students? We have no idea. But you know what? God knows. God knows these people, and He's preparing hearts right now. Students that are going to come here that we can minister to. Because as we saw again, even on this short little clip, this video, we live in a world that's dark. And if we're not motivated, if we're not strong, how in the world are we going to be able to reach this world for Jesus Christ? It's impossible. We won't be able to do it. And hang in there, guys. It's warm in here, I know. I don't think I'm the only one sweating here. But God continues to do great and wonderful things. And so we're excited about this. And we want you to be excited with us. Because it's not our work. It's not our work. It's your work also. But most of all, this is God's work. Because God continues to build His church. That's a promise that He has given to us. And we want to go by that promise. I want to just share just a few thoughts with you this morning. I was asking Katie this morning if she remembered learning Matthew chapter 5, the first 13 verses, give or take, and she forgot. And both my girls memorized this back when they were young, this particular passage. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's page 806 or 9 in the red Bibles in front of you. Matthew chapter 5. For your homework for next week, I want you to read the first 16 verses of this particular book, chapter 5. And I want you, as you're reading it, I just want you to imagine yourself sitting on a mountain slope, Jesus sitting there with you, and He begins to teach you. And as you read through these 16 verses, just imagine yourself there, listening to the best teacher that ever lived on this earth. Just imagine and just try to think, man, that's amazing, these things that are saying. What do they actually mean? And if you have a dictionary or a concordance or something, look it up. Look up some of these words as He goes through verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. And especially when it gets down into verses 13 and 14. Read those verses and study them. And let God teach you. I'm only going to center on one particular verse here this morning. But actually there could be 6 or 7 or 8 weeks of sermons here. Just in this small little section here. We're going to focus this morning just a little bit here on verse 6. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled," or "they shall be satisfied," or "they shall be blessed." You could put all kinds of different versions into words into that particular verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm not sure what comes to mind when you think of hunger and thirst. To tell you the truth, I've been on a diet for the past 2 months here, and I'm not sure about you, but every weekend there's a lot of barbecues that are going on down the streets here. You drive through San Carlos and you are getting smells, because I ride a motorcycle and I know those smells. And every time I think of going to Santa Rosa and buying some meat to put on the barbecue, and I have to practice mega, mega, mega self-control as I come home empty-handed. An incredible hunger as you're on a diet. You know, every day I go walking in the desert here, 5 kilometers or 3.2 miles. I don't take water with me, but when I get home, I go nonstop to my water fountain and I get 2 big gulps of water. And if my dog goes with me also, he does the same thing. thirst, incredible thirst, physical thirst that we all experience big time in our lives. Whether we are hungry, whether we are thirsty, whether there are things in our lives that we just hunger and thirst for, that we want, it's a pull. It's something that is there that we can't take away. We have cravings all the time that we want and what we desire in our lives. And that's up to each one of us as an individual, how we handle those cravings, how we handle that hunger or that thirst. But here in verse 6, we are talking not about a physical hunger or thirst. We're talking about a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. It would be quite something after my walks, I would come home and study for an hour in the Word of God because I'd be so thirsty for reading the Word of God. And something that we have to ask ourselves each and every day, what are the things that are driving us to thirst on? When you think of our Christian walk, what is it that is driving us? Are we thirsting? Are we hungry for the things of God? Is God the center point of our lives? Or are there other things that are controlling the way we are thinking, the way we are manhandling our lives? Are there things that are controlling us to a point where that hunger and thirst for Christ is not there? When I think of those tribal people after this conference now, can you imagine the hunger and thirst that has been satisfied after being taught for 6 weeks, 5 days a week? Can you imagine how much they know about the letter to the Romans that Paul wrote? Can you imagine how much they know about the book of Romans after 6 weeks of going verse by verse by verse by verse? As I read this verse, it says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after me." God is wanting us to do that very thing. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do you know what righteousness means over here? It means a right relationship with Jesus Christ. That's exactly what he is talking about here. I want you to hunger and thirst after righteousness because I want your relationship with me so pure, so good, that everything that you do is going to be centered around Jesus Christ. Everything that you do. And that is an incredible commitment for us as humans to do because it's almost impossible. Because our flesh is the flesh. We are human. But God's desire for each one of us is to seek righteousness, to be hungry and thirsty after Him. And that means for us to have a relationship with Him that is pure. And how do we have that relationship with Him? The thing is, we have to be walking with no sin in our lives. No sin. And that is a very, very difficult thing to do. Let me tell you that. It is hard. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of guts to be dealing with sin in our lives every day. It is hard. But let me tell you what. It is so incredibly worth it to deal with things in your life that you will never be happier because God wants to bless each one of us. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst to seek righteousness because you're going to be satisfied. Each one of us is going to be satisfied completely, 100%. But dealing with sin, folks, that is the hardest thing. That is hard. When I think of Adam and Eve in the garden, how they were sinless, and they walked with God, and they talked with God every day, in the morning and in the evenings. They had that fellowship with God. And God so much desires for us to have that fellowship with Him. Are we hungering? Are we thirsting, brothers, sisters? Is Christ so much a part of our lives that as Tim was sharing in this letter over here, those tribal people could have been with the Sanhedrin. They could have said, those guys have been with Jesus. Can people see in our lives that we have been with Jesus, that we walk and we talk with him every day? Can people see that? That's what Christ wants from each one of us, because he wants to bless us. He wants to create in us an incredibly pure and clean heart. And as we think of the King David there in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 there, it says, as the deer pants after that brook, so my heart, so my soul does the same. It wants to pant. It wants to know God. Does God know you? Yeah, he does. But do you know God? Is he so much a part of our life that people can see that Jesus is with us? Sin, it separates us from God. And as soon as it separates us from God, our relationship with God is broken. It's completely broken. And the question that we need to continually ask ourselves, God, I want to keep my relationship with you right. Whether it be with our co-workers, our mates, husband-wife relationship, our neighbors, whatever the case might be, is my relationship with Christ right? And those are decisions that are so vital to our Christian walk, that are so important for us to do on a daily basis. Yet most Christians say, I have to confess sin every day? No way! Yes way. Every moment of our life, we need to be walking in front of God, because Christ demands a moment-by-moment relationship with him. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from us. Moment by moment by moment, I am walking with Jesus Christ. He is a part of my life. And as soon as a thought comes in that disrupts that relationship with Jesus Christ, I need to fix that right now. I need to get that straight right now. Whether it is with a brother or a sister or a mate or whatever the situation is, we need to fix that right now. Because God wants to bless us. He wants us to thirst for him and nothing else. Nothing else. There's lots of Christians in this world today that are just Christians. They come to church, they listen to the Word of God, and they leave those doors, and everything that they have heard is gone. You ask them what they just heard 15 minutes earlier, and they won't be able to tell you. There's lots of those Christians around today. Lots of them. But God is looking for Christians that are like disciples. Are we disciples of Jesus Christ? Are we people that have the guts to stand up for the Christ that died on the cross for us and say, yes, Lord, I am willing. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to do everything that it takes to be the man and the woman of God that you want me to be. And you know what? That is hard. That is going to be the hardest thing that you're ever going to do in your life. Because the flesh is going to be telling you, don't do it, boy. It's a waste of time. It's too hard. You can't do it. You got too many obstacles in your way. You don't have the guts. But yeah, we do. We have everything that it takes. Absolutely everything. And God is just waiting right now. What are you going to do? That decision is for each one of us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because it says they will be satisfied. What a promise. What a promise. And you know what? When we are walking in righteousness, we're going to very easily fulfill the great commission that God has given to us in Matthew chapter 28. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because Christ is going to be so much a part of our lives that we're going to want to share. We're going to want to share what Christ has done for us. What he's done for us. Years ago, I used to recite this poem when I went on different tours. And I haven't read it for years and years and years. And I just happened to have found it this past week. I cleaned out my office a little bit a couple of weeks ago, and here I found this thing. And I want to just read it to you. Actually, I had it memorized at one time, but as you get over the 50s, you seem to forget a little bit. And so I'm going to read this thing to you. It touches my heart incredibly. And in a way, it uses a lot of symbolism. So you have to kind of use your imagination as you listen to this. It's written by somebody by the name of Amy Carmichael. And it's called The Cry of the Blood. Some of you may have read this poem before. But I want to close with this. And I just trust that you can ask yourselves, what part do you want me to be involved in? And think of missions. Think of the local church. Think of your neighbors. Think of your family. Just allow the Lord to use this poem for whatever he may. I might have to put these glasses on. I've never done this before. But it's small print. The tom-toms thumped on all night, and the darkness shuddered around me like a living, feeling thing. I could not go to sleep, so I lay awake and I looked, and I saw, and it seemed like this, that I stood upon a grassy sward, and at my feet a precipice broke sheer down into infinite space. I looked, but I saw no bottom, only coiled shapes, black and furiously coiled. The great shadow-shrouded hollows and unfathomable depths. Back I drew, dizzy at the depth. Then I saw forms of people moving single file along the grass. They were making for the edge. There was a woman with a baby in her arms and another little child holding on to her dress. She was on the very verge, and then I saw that she was blind. She lifted her foot for the next step. It trod air, and she was over, and the children with her. Oh, the cry as they went over. Then I saw more streams of people flowing from all quarters. All were blind, stone blind, all made straight for the precipice edge. There were shrieks, and they suddenly knew themselves falling, and the tossing up of helpless arms, clutching, catching at empty air. But some went over quietly and fell without a sound. And then I wondered, with a wonder that was simply agony, why no one stopped them at the edge. I could not. I was glued to the ground. I could not call out. Though I strained and I tried, only a whisper would come. And then I saw that along the edge there were sentries set at intervals, but the intervals were far too great, and there were wide, unguarded gaps between, and over these gaps the people fell in their blindness, quite unwarned, and the green grass seemed blood red to me, and the gulf yawned like the mouth of hell. And then I saw, like a picture of peace, a group of people under some trees, with their backs turned toward the gulf, and they were making daisy chains. Sometimes when a piercing shriek cut the quiet air and reached them, it disturbed them, and they thought it rather a vulgar noise. And if one of their number started up and wanted to go and do something to help, then all the others would pull that one down. Why should you get so excited about it? You must wait for a definite call to go. You haven't finished your daisy chains. It would be rather selfish, they said, to leave us finish the work alone. There was another group. It was made up of people whose great desire was to get some sentries out. But they found that very few wanted to go. And sometimes there were no sentries for miles and miles along the edge. Once a girl stood alone in her place, waving the people back. But her mother and other relations called and reminded her that her furlough was due. She must not break the rules. And being tired and needing a change, she had to go and rest a while. But no one was sent to guard her gap. And over the people fell like a waterfall of souls. Once a child caught a turf of grass at the brink of the gulf, the child clung convulsively and it called out. But nobody seemed to hear. Then the roots of the grass gave way and the cry of the child went over, and the two little hands still holding tightly to that torn off bunch of grass. And the girl that longed to be back in her gap thought she heard the little one cry, and she sprang up and wanted to go, at which her relatives reproved her, reminding her that no one was necessary anywhere and that the gap would be taken care of. They knew. And they sang a hymn. And through the hymn came another sound, like the pain of a million broken hearts, wrung out in one full drop, one sob. And a horror of great darkness was upon me, for I knew what it was, the cry of the blood. Then thundered a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." And Jesus said, "To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you always." Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for salvation. We are so undeserving, yet because of your super, super grace, we are who we are. Thank you that we heard. Thank you that somebody told us this precious news. And Father, I pray that we, as believers, as disciples, that we would put behind any type of pride that we might have, that we would totally, totally deal with sin in our life. And Father, be the best that we could possibly be to serve you, to walk with you, to fellowship with you, and to enjoy you, and to taste you. Thank you, Father, for Matthew 5, 6. Thank you, just the fact that you want to bless us. And Father, we want a hunger and we want a thirst after righteousness. We want to do that, Father. We want to satisfy you just as you want to satisfy us. Thank you for this time of fellowship that we can enjoy this time together. And Father, I pray that as Satan desires to destroy us, to get us down, to discourage us, to interrupt our daily times of devotions with you, there are so many excuses out there, Father. But I pray that we will make the right choices, that we will walk in fellowship with you. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to accomplish this week in each and one of us. And Father, I pray that we would be totally effective in our lives and each one of our ministries. In Jesus' name, amen.